Welcome to the Pastor's Porch, a place where pastors encourage one another, speak freely about the Word of God, and engage in real communal relationships with the body of Christ. Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to episode 6 of the Pastor's Porch. Today, we are covering part 2 of What is Love? Today, we are going to discuss the ministry of reconciliation. And if you're thinking today, well, what is the ministry of reconciliation? We're taking it straight from the Bible today. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. This talks about the ministry of reconciliation. And so I'm going to jump right in and I'm going to read this passage of scripture to you all as we get started today. So again, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. And it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made himself to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Wow, powerful scripture. I'm going to go ahead and jump in and define this word. There's two different reconciliations words here. You have in verse 18, when it talks about God reconciled us to himself and the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, reconciled and the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, so reconcile means to change mutually, okay, basically compounding a difference. And then this word reconciliation, or the ministry of reconciliation, is the restoration to favor. Okay, so thinking about that today is, when Christ reconciles us to himself, he is he's making us more like him. He is compounding the differences in us to be like him. And then in that, he gives us the ministry of reconciliation, which means to restore to favor. So Pastor Zach, when you think about that in the ministry of reconciliation that we as followers of Christ have, what does that mean to be reconciled to Christ, and then having the ministry of reconciliation to others?
Well, thank you guys for joining us again. We, the first definition you read, when it talks about the exchange of the money changers, you know, in America, we don't think about this. We don't, it's probably not something we deal with in our daily life. But I was in Peru one time, and we had been there for several days, and it was probably a couple days into our ministry down there, and all of a sudden these guys came into the camp. And I noticed when these guys came into the camp, everybody started going towards them. And when people went towards them, these guys literally were what we would call money exchangers, money changers. Their job was to come into these camps where Americans and people from other parts of the world were, and to take our money and convert it to their money system so that our money could be useful there. And so when I think about reconciliation, and I think about the simplest terms of what Jesus did here, where we talk about becoming a new creation, is he exchanged us. Yeah. We could have never made heaven on our own merit. We would have never been able to stand in front of God. However, he exchanged our dead soul to make us a living soul. Yes. He quickened our spirit and made it alive. What was dead, he made alive. And so the first portion of this, that's what I think of. In the simplest terms, He took what was dead and made it alive.
Yeah.
Reconciling us to God. And when you read the scripture, as we love to do, you see that that was never going to happen all the way back in the book of Genesis, all the way through the judges, all the way through the law, all the way through the prophets, all the way through the kings. That was never going to happen in any other way. It literally took God with us, Emmanuel.
Yep.
It took him coming to earth in the flesh. John chapter 1 does a perfect job of explaining it. And I would encourage any of the listeners, go read John 1, verse 1 through 17, and understand what really happened when Jesus came to the earth. But the reality is, we were reconciled by our belief in his blood.
Yep. It was done through the cross.
The cross is what gave us the opportunity to be reconciled. So, wow, that's overwhelming. But then when we go down and we see that now we're ambassadors, okay, that's a wonderful thing. But he's given us this ministry of reconciliation. Well, what is ministry? In the simplest forms, it's the service, the opportunity to execute the commands of another. In the terms in which we're talking about here, when we've been given this, there's no way you can remain silent once you've been reconciled to God. It is ministering the commands and to promote who God is. It is the office of the priest, and it is the office of the apostles, and it is the opportunity of the evangelists and elders and anybody who is a follower of Christ to profess the name of Jesus. We have been given this.
Yeah.
This one of these definitions that I'm looking at here is literally the service of those who prepare and present.
Yep.
What are we called to do as reconcilers? Prepare the word of God and present it to people. In the simplest context, reconciling them as we are. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, go back to 1 Corinthians 1:18. You know, you talk about the ministry of reconciliation and kind of what is our guideline for this. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God."
The power of God.
And so it literally, this ministry of reconciliation and us being ambassadors of Christ. One of the commentaries I like to read says, when we become the ambassadors of Christ, preaching of the cross, it says, one empowered to deliver a message for someone else.
Yeah, it's his message.
And it's literally the message of the gospel and of the cross and of what Jesus did for us. And then I can't help but go back to that definition of reconciliation. Not when Jesus reconciles us to him, but the ministry of reconciliation, which is restoration to favor. And so to me, I mean, that's one thing that should be a beautiful thing for all people who are in Christ, is we should be restoring the relationship that Jesus had for us from the very beginning of time that we have messed up. And it's done through the power of the cross. It's done through salvation through the atonement sacrifice that was done on the cross and the resurrection, and when Jesus laid his blood sacrifice on the altar before his Father so that we could be reconciled to him. When we understand this and when we get this, because we are saved, you know, if you haven't listened to our podcast last week, you know, part one on what is love, you said it best, Pastor Zach, is if we can't love somebody, we need to go back to step one, and that's to be reminded of how Jesus loved us.
Yeah.
And when we get to that remembrance, then this ministry of reconciliation comes to the forefront of our mind to go out and to remember where we were and try to help to restore the favor that God has and Jesus has for everybody else out there that they have yet to tap into.
Mm.
And I think this ministry of reconciliation, what comes to my mind is the parable of the lost son, the parable of the prodigal son, as people understand it. This is what it just, it brings to mind when I think ministry of reconciliation is this father had two sons, very well off. One got tired of working at a house and he wanted to take in his inheritance and go try it for himself. And what happened is he realized he ended up in a slop bucket, working his tail off, not making anything to what he thought he could make, and realized, oh my goodness, the joy and the favor that I had at my father's house. And he ran back. And when he ran back, his father didn't condone him. His father didn't tell him how worthless he was because he took everything he had. What does his father do? He ran to him, fell on him, had compassion for him, kissed him, got him the best things that he wanted. That's the ministry of reconciliation that we should be doing to those who have yet come to the favor that God has established for them. And I think it's a beautiful picture and a parable that we should use and think about when it comes to this ministry of reconciliation, and understand that God first loved us so that we could love others.
Yeah, and I think I got a couple thoughts. I'm going to chase a couple rabbits down with what you said there. Number one, I would say if the father had the heart of reconciliation, the son had the spirit of religious rejection, the other son. The other son, yes. he was so religious, he wouldn't even go to the celebration dinner. And he was so rejecting, he wasn't nowhere to be found when his brother's coming home. He was jealous and all that. And so I just thought about that when you said the father had the heart of reconciliation. Well, the other son, he was definitely a religious rejecter. I don't want to be that guy. And then there's in 1 Corinthians, we were talking about the power of the cross. And the Bible says very plainly after that, I want to help somebody because I can already see someone's going to listen to this podcast and they listen to last week's and they're going to say, well, that's fine. Zach and T are preachers and they have the ministry of reconciliation, but God wouldn't want to use just somebody like me. But I would rather tell you that if you would go ahead and read past verse 18 there in 1 Corinthians 1, where the Bible begins to talk about how not many wise, right? Correct. How God chose the weak things of the world to confound the wise, and how God uses things that others have rejected. I don't know about you, but I wasn't Mr. Popular. I don't feel like I'm still not Mr. Popular. But the reality is that God isn't looking for perfect people. He's looking for obedient people. And, you know, I think back even more when I was thinking on this, I was thinking about David wasn't even invited to the anointing party when he was anointed king. When his brothers, there were six brothers invited and he wasn't even invited. And Samuel said, do you have any more to Jesse? And so David literally didn't even get invited to the supper in which he was going to be anointed. And he was out faithfully serving, and God saw fit to speak through Samuel and said, is there any more children that you have? That's and good. Then that's when David was pulled in. And so maybe I would say, if you look at the ministry of reconciliation, it's not contingent on you. It's on the message.
Yes.
It's on the cross. It's on the gospel. I've always said, and I heard one of the theologians say it, and I don't remember which one, maybe Spurgeon. The gospel is much like a roaring lion. You don't have to tell a lion to be a lion. You just got to open the door of the cage and let the lion out. And that's us in presenting the word of God. The word of God is the word of God. It's powerful. It's sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides men's thoughts and intents of their heart. And it comes down to the spirit, soul, and body. And it will touch every part of every man. It's not our job to find a cute way to do it or change it or alter it. It's our job to just simply open our mouths and repeat it. That is what the ministry of reconciliation is to me, is opening our mouths, our hearts, our time, our service is what the writer wrote here, is what Paul wrote. He said, your service. And it reminds me of, I'll let you talk in just a minute because I'm just going all over scripture.
Go for it.
It reminds me out of Romans 12 when he said, I beg you, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you would present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. I don't know how to define all these things, but when I read it in Arkansas letters, that says it's the least you could do.
Correct.
It's the least you could do. It's the least you could do is present your body and your life as a sacrifice unto Christ. And I really believe if we understood that, we wouldn't be as worried about what we look like or how it sounds like or being perfect. We would just understand it's our mission to fulfill the Great Commission.
Yes. Going back, I love this commentary on presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. It says the word sacrifice speaks of the sacrifice of Christ, which means that we cannot do this, which the Holy Spirit demands, unless our faith is placed strictly in Christ and the cross, which then gives the Holy Spirit latitude to carry out the great work within our lives.
Mm.
So right there, it literally solidifies everything you said. It's not about us.
Yeah.
It's just about us being obedient and being a willing vessel.
Man.
Being a willing vessel. And you know, going back, I just can't get away from this definition of ministry of reconciliation. Just the thought that came to mind. The restore to favor. To restore something means it had to be there in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, meaning that it's not about us having some thought or some word or something on our own, but we're just being the vessel that Christ wants to use to restore. You know, I think of when restorations happen, they take something of old that has value and brings back the beauty that it once had before. Well, guess what? We were made in the image of God. We were made beautiful.
Yeah.
Listen. And it was sin in our choices that corrupted the favor that we had through Jesus.
Yeah.
We were made lovely.
Mm-hmm.
We were made beautiful in the Trinity that God had established for us way back in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the sins of the world and the destruction and the darkness that we are brought into that we become old looking, that we become rusted. In this ministry of reconciliation, to be reconciled to Christ, as he's wanting to restore, to bring back the beauty and the love that was originally designed.
Yeah. You know, it makes me think, I got a friend right now that him and his daughter are fixing to restore a pickup. And I just can't help but think exactly what you said. I think the pickup's 20-something, older than that, probably 30, 40 years old, older pickup. And I'm thinking about the effort that it takes by him.
Come on.
He's the one that found the truck. The truck was the truck. The truck never stopped being, and I don't remember if it was a 70s or 80s model. That just shows you how old I am now. But the truck always was. However, him and his daughter picked the truck out. They've now brought the truck to their home. They have invested in learning of how to properly restore it.
Come on.
And they're going to have to put their hands on the truck and get dirty.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to do the work. Now, when that is done, I can't wait to see the pickup truck because I have a feeling it's going to be more beautiful as it's ever been. It's going to have its original purpose given back to it. And be a good-looking truck going up and down the road. But how many people do you know right now, or listener, do you know that you know they are far from God?
Yeah.
That you know they need the hand of God in their life.
Yeah. Come on,
preach. In this verse in particular that we're talking about out of 2 Corinthians 5 is speaking about being that minister.
Yes.
That ambassador.
Yes.
That is a representative of one in a foreign land.
Yes.
We are not residents of earth. We are not Republican. We are not Democrat. We are not conservative and liberal and all these things the media wants to tie you. I'm a Christian.
Yep.
I'm a Christ follower.
Yes.
And a lot of things could be said about me. But the thing I would want to say first, even before pastor, even before husband or father. I would want people to know that I am an ambassador for Christ.
Yes.
And if I'm living that right, then anything that comes behind that or with that will be lived out right.
Correct.
And I want to be the best ambassador on planet Earth in the 479 area code that I can be for Jesus Christ. And I think if we would take that heart of truly understanding that every job, every assignment, every school, every football team, every church function, every place we go, that everything that we do, that we have an opportunity to be an ambassador for Christ. And the reason we are that ambassador is because we've been reconciled to God and left here, sealed by His Holy Spirit, to have the opportunity to see others reconciled
yes.
to Him.
Yes.
If you could give heaven to a man, would you?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I mean, this is the most elementary thing I could say about sharing our faith. If we knew that we could physically give heaven away, we would.
Absolutely.
We would give it to every stranger, every Absolutely. Person hold a cup at Walmart, every person on the corner. We'd stop and pull over and get out of the truck and give them heaven.
Yes.
But we hesitate to give them the word of God, which gives them access. Mm. That's the hardship for me in the modern church.
Yeah.
People overseas will walk for 10, 12, 13 miles just to go to one church meeting and let us get working late for 10 minutes and think we can't even show up because we might disrupt the service walking in 5 minutes late. It's a shame what pride has done to us, and we just need to really refocus. Yeah. I think the ministry of reconciliation is the simplest ministry. We need to reevaluate priorities. We need to reevaluate positions, and we need to reevaluate every portion of our life. Does it line up with being an ambassador for Jesus?
Yeah, no, that's so good. And I just think of what we've talked about these last couple weeks on what is love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in my own personal life, the things I love are the things I hold close.
Yeah.
And so reprioritizing things, maybe needing to be a shift of what are we actually loving and what do we need to love better.
Tell them.
And I've had to evaluate that in my life.
Absolutely.
In my own life. Yeah. My wife and I, we went through some counseling at the end of last year. Not that it was necessarily anything was going wrong. Sometimes I think you need an oil change in your marriage. And we wanted to love each other better.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to love each other better. And so that's why we went through it. And one thing that came up in that for my own life was the question is, was I so future focused that I was missing all time in the present?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that, kind of shifting it to what we're talking about here, is was I trying to love things that I wanted in the future that I was missing an opportunity to love things that were right in front of me?
Wow.
Mm. And it really caused me to sit back, evaluate my life, and prioritize the things I loved.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me a greater love for my wife. It gave me a greater love for my family. And it ultimately gave me a greater love for Christ of what He had entrusted in me to have.
Yeah.
And so on that, it goes back to the ministry of reconciliation and understanding what is love. I think there's things as a body of Christ that we have forgotten how to love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what we talked about last week is if we love one another, that's how God's going to know, or that's how, people from the outside are going to know that we are God's children and we are followers of Christ.
Yeah.
And so if you aren't loving,
mm-hmm.
do you know God?
Mm. Think about that. Mm.
Have you been reconciled to Him?
That's a thought.
Because I think about that in my own life, is the things that I prioritize are things that I love.
Mm-hmm.
My family, I prioritize them. I love them.
Yeah.
Coming to church, I'm going to step on some toes here, but I come to church when the doors are open because I love Christ.
Yeah.
I'm not giving it up for a picnic. I'm not giving it up for a time at the lake. I'm not giving it up for a ball game.
Mm-hmm.
I love my Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have to prioritize the love for the Father that we have so that we can prioritize loving one another.
Yeah.
And that is such a big part of the ministry of reconciliation.
Oh, it's a huge part of it, man. It is the ministry of reconciliation.
Oh, absolutely. You go to 1 John where it talks about God is love.
Yeah.
You want to be Christ-like? Mm-hmm. You want to be as close to God as you can? Love somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what love does.
Absolutely.
You know, what fervent charity, like we talked about last week, I enjoyed that. I have a son, you know, that is in love with ball, my youngest son, Jackson. And when you're talking about priorities, he is young. He's 10. But he is convinced he's going to be the world's next Patrick Mahomes or Tim Tebow or whomever the flavor of the year is. In his mind, that's what he's convinced of. And I love to watch him work. Yeah. I love to watch him work out or do things that not other kids are willing to do. But I'll tell you what's more impressive is when he's alone with me, he doesn't ever want to talk about ball. He wants to talk about God. Now, he'll spend hours throwing that ball, hitting that ball, chasing that ball, running. It doesn't matter what season it is, dribbling, shooting. He just thinks athletics is the best. But when he's alone with me, or even if you, as you've seen some with you, he wants to talk about the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been reminded of this. You were talking about stepping on toes. And it's good sometimes to have our toes stepped on. It said, there was a picture someone sent me and it said, your child has a 0.01% chance of playing professional sports
mm-hmm.
and a 100% chance of standing in front of Jesus.
Yes.
And every time he and I will get in these deep conversations, not always daily, but several times a week, about the things of God. Right now we're going through and studying Noah. That's what he wants to know about, is Noah. And he's a very deep young man. But there's not a time that he's hitting the baseball or working out in the backyard that I'm not trying to direct him back to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think fishing is fun. Ball is fun. We went and played that golf frisbee thing the other day. It was real fun. I enjoy those things.
Sure.
I don't think there's any sin in that.
No.
But I think every one of those opportunities is another opportunity to glorify the Lord.
Absolutely.
What happens at the ball field in downtown, playing a game of athletics, doing a quiz bowl, or driving a church bus, or volunteering in your community. It's easy for me to talk about sports because that's what my kids do. The band, feeding the band, taking them popsicles. I mean, sharing the love of Jesus can happen anytime, any place.
That's what Colossians 3 says. Yes. Whatever you do, whether it be in word or deed, do it for the name of the Lord.
Do it for Jesus.
Giving glory and honor to the Father.
Isn't that the true heart of reconciliation?
Yeah. Well, and one thing that we haven't really discussed is we're talking about reconciling those who have maybe not experienced Christ or have fallen away from it, but I think there's a reconciliation within the brothers and sisters of Christ within the church.
Yeah.
Of reconciling each other back, just as you're talking about, is that is the love of God, is reconciling and strengthening each other back to Christ. That's another part of reconciliation that is an important aspect within the body of Christ. Is we're not just supposed to be ministering to those who don't know Christ, but we're supposed to be ministering to those who do know Christ to strengthen them and to help them be encouraged in the Word and be encouraged in the plans that God has for them.
Brethren, this is Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if a man be overtaken in fault, you which you are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest also you be tempted, bearing one another's burdens, and in doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ.
Yeah.
It's basically what you just said.
Yeah.
Did you notice the word in the middle? Restore. Does that not, again, remember the truck my friend was doing? It takes a willing vessel on both sides.
Yes, it does.
It takes someone willing to be meek enough to have hard conversations, but it also takes the person in fault being spiritual enough to admit they have a fault.
Yeah.
We miss all these things in the modern church because we're more obsessed with not bringing our Bible to church, with depending on someone else to feed us and to be spoon-fed a sugar-coated gospel and not be in real relationship. And that relationship, I don't care if there's 5,000 people in the church or five people in the church, if you don't have relationship with the people within the walls of the church and outside the walls of the church and these small groups and these discipleship now groups and these things that we try to get the church involved in, these outreaches and things like that, that's why we do those things.
Yeah.
Is because you and I, we can pastor effectively between 80 and 100 people apiece in our prime. You may be moving into your prime, but I'm getting older. And the reality is that in my best day, I could pastor between 80 and 100 people effectively. The same said for you. Well, our church has already outgrown those numbers.
Yeah.
What does that mean? We need spiritual people within the walls of the church who are in relationship, who can have those conversations and lead one another and be mature in the body of Christ. Because we're going to forget birthdays. We're going to miss hardships. We're going to miss out on conversations. I tell people this, I hope nobody gets mad when I say this, but it ain't my responsibility to read Facebook and determine whether or not you have a midlife crisis. It's just not. It's just not. And people put things on Facebook, and then 2 weeks later they'll tell me, well, I put on Facebook. Well, that's not my responsibility.
No.
Relationship is not social media.
Nope, it's not.
Social media is a great tool to reach people for Jesus. It's a great tool to see what kind of chicken somebody grilled, okay? But it is not the tool that people think it is for reaching within the body of Christ. I'm not talking about outside. I'm not talking about sharing Jesus. I'm talking about people in the body of Christ have got to be able to look one another in the eye and have that reconciling mentality that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And we miss it.
Yep.
Lord Jesus, don't let us miss it. Don't let us miss it. We don't need to miss that.
No, we don't.
Because it's vital to the health of the believer.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
On both sides.
Absolutely
is. In the spirit of meekness and in the spirit of restoration.
Well, it provides growth on both sides.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And it's vital. I've said this statement for a long time. If you're not growing, you're only doing one thing.
Well,
that is dying.
True. Yeah.
And so, you know, we've got to get back to those tough conversations. We've got to get back to actually loving the body of Christ.
Amen.
And loving one another. And I want to leave you guys with, I kind of briefly talked about it, but I want to leave you with 1 John 4:7-8 today as we're wrapping up. What is love? The ministry of reconciliation. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. I would venture to say if you're not loving and you've forgotten how to love, then you aren't in tune with who God is. So first, if you're listening to this today and you've struggled to love, get in your prayer closet and ask the Lord to speak to you, because God is love. I've never experienced anything but love from my Heavenly Father. And it goes on to say in verse 7, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Mm.
For God is love. And so,
is love.
As we wrap up part two of What is Love, understanding the ministry of reconciliation, man, pray and ask God for a heart to love people.
Amen.
Because that's when changes happen, that's when restoration happens, that's when reconciliation happens, is when we can look past the outer barriers that the world puts on and we look to the heart of an individual and truly love them for who God created them to be. That's when good things and life-changing things happen for both us as those who are looking out and for those who need the love of Christ within their life.
Mm. You know, and that is, this happens through authentic relationship.
Yes.
I encourage you, maybe you're not a part of Unity, maybe you're not a part of this church. You need the body of Christ.
Yes.
And truth be told, the body of Christ needs you. And we all need a body of believers. I don't care if we meet in a garage, in the ballpark. I don't care if we meet on the playground and at the local school. However that looks, in the church house, every person listening to this is going to be strengthened. Yes, people hurt us in the body of Christ. But I really believe that to fulfill the things that we talked about here today, we've got to have people that we live with in community, in real authentic relationships, and we call it around here doing life together.
Yep.
We need those.
Yes,
maybe we'll jump into that later. But we thank you guys for joining us, and pray that you have a wonderful week. God bless you, and be a reconciler for the kingdom of God.
Thanks for listening to The Pastor's Porch. If you don't have a church home, come join us at Unity Covenant Church in West Fork, Arkansas. We would love to have you. Thank you for your continual support to this podcast. Please stay tuned for more episodes. Have a great day, and God bless.